Good evening, everybody. Good evening, everybody. So good, you're so used to hearing praise the Lord, so I had to trick you up a little bit there. But it's so good to be back with you all here this evening. Somebody may have to rescue my wife from the lobby because she's the one teaching first here tonight. If you were not here, I know they said there were several here tonight that weren't here last night. So if raise your hand if you weren't here, and they'll give you a handout from last night. There's some hands lifted up there for the ushers. Just kind of keep them up till they bring the handouts by. Also, they're going to hand out the handout for tonight, Taking Every Thought Captive. And so, again, just kind of keep your hand up if you didn't get a handout from last night. Yeah, the ushers are coming around now with childhood scripts that my wife taught. The media, I think, is going to have these. They talked to me last night, have these for sale, the CD. So if you weren't here, get a CD of last night and then follow with the handouts along with that. Okay? Amen. Is that all clear as mud? No. So they're giving you a handouts from last night, and they're handing them out now. And get one of the CDs from last night, then you can listen to it and follow along with the handout. They're also going to be giving you the handout from my wife's session tonight, Taking Every Thought Captive. And then if you forgot to bring your handout of mine from last night, How to Gain Emotional Freedom, raise your hand. They got extra. And they'll bring you your handout from my session from last night. Of course, you won't need it until I speak in my session after my wife. We can get started now. She arrived. Just having fun there. But my wife's going to be dealing with a very important topic here this evening. She'll give her topic, and then we'll take about a 10-minute break again like we did last evening. Then we'll come back, and I'll finish, and I'll begin to go into detail on how to begin the chain-breaking process in your life and how to restore to the original factory settings of how God created you. My wife's session that she's dealing with here this evening is Taking Every Thought Captive. In all my years of Christendom, there's still some hands. Let's just be patient, keep them up till the ushers get around here. No problem. I want to make sure that everybody has these handouts. And it's good to see so many here tonight that weren't here last night. Thank you for coming. Amen. All my life, I've been taught about prayer as a spiritual discipline, and also fasting, worship, contributions, tithe and offering, that type of a thing. But I never heard the spiritual discipline that my wife's going to deal with about taking every thought captive. It's so scriptural and it's so biblical. Actually, I'm not degrading or downplaying prayer. It's so important. But I want to give you a good Ozarks term, which is where I'm from originally. You can pray till the cows come home. Amen. But you still, and that's good, but you also have to learn how to begin to take these thoughts captive. Years ago, I heard Mark Canby preach a message in 1974 called Calling in the Cats. How many here live in the country? Anybody live in the country? Several hands lifted up. What happens if a stray mama cat showed up at your house and she was pregnant? You'll have 7 or 8 little cats around your house. What happens if, I just love all these little cats, all these little kitties. I'm just going to keep them all. What would happen about a year later? How many cats would you have around your house? And say, I'm a cat lover, so I'm going to keep all these cats. Couple years later, how many cats are you going to have around your house? 500 probably. And his title was Calling in the Cats, and his scripture was Gird Up the Loins of Your Mind. That part of your mind that puts all these negative thoughts, all these negative emotions, because if you let them stay, you're going to have a lot more. And if you let those stay, you're going to have a lot more. Amen. Amen. So the ushers are doing a fantastic job getting all these handed out here, and I appreciate their efforts and their time with this. My wife and I have loved and appreciated being with y'all. Already made several new friends, good friends, Y'all been so warm and welcoming, and we're so appreciative of that. And such a well-run church. We give honor to Pastor and Sister Damesworth. Give them a hand. Then executive pastor, Brother Griever, he did such an awesome job preparing ahead of time and getting the handouts developed and working with us and flying here and all that. So anyway, I'd like for my wife to come at this time. And again, if you need a certain set of handouts, just lift your hand, whatever. But they're handing out Taking Every Thought Captive.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Oh, man, I am so excited to be here, and as my husband said, you all have wonderful leadership, great, great leadership. So we have had a lot of fun, probably too much fun, but that's okay, right? Oh, goodness. So I know some of you all were not here last night, so I will mention my books again. So Buried Alive, A Miracle Journey of Healing from Borderline Personality Disorder. This is very close to PTSD if you do not know what this is. But it deals with stress and anxiety and depression and racing thoughts and just a lot of stuff like losses and abuses and grief and all of those kinds of things. It covers this in here. So this one is $10. I have the Steps of Healing in the back. And then Bursting Alive is, I went into detail with the steps of healing, put more stories, more illustrations, exercises, clinical stuff, just a lot of information in here. And this one is 15. And then Alive and Free is basically how to let go of the old and embrace the new, how to live in it. Because I know I was talking with someone just a few minutes ago, I see him on the back row back there, but we were talking, and it's like no matter if it's a physical, emotional healing, or if you come into church and receive a spirit, it's like it's a whole different world. And so I didn't realize this until I was walking in healing, that there's some days I would wake up and say, who am I? You know, I never seen that side. And so I realized that that may be where we lose a lot of people, because it's a process, it's a walk, and you have to lose some things, even though there are things that you need to lose. That's all you've ever known, and what do? We hang on to all we've ever known because that feels comfortable. And so this is where this book come from, and I just wanted to help someone to not get lost. So this one is 10. And I take just about any form of payment. If you do cash or something equivalent to it, and you buy more than one book, I take a dollar off of each book. So Taking Every Thought Captive, this is like, oh, as my husband said, this is one of the most important things ever, ever, ever. I will say in healing, if you don't take every thought captive, this is one of the greatest components in healing. And lifestyle change. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thing to the obedience of Christ. This is so important. So important. When we look at the disciplines or the things that we do every day in life, we don't really think about it, do we? Do we think about, are we going to eat today? It's usually, where are we going to go, or what kind of food do I want? You know, all that kind of stuff. Do we think about, are we going to go to our work today? Are we going to take care of our kids? Are we going to clean house? Are we going to all those things, we just do them every day, and we don't think anything about it. I say we don't. Now, we do at times wake up and think, oh, man, I don't want to go to work today. I don't want to clean house today. I don't want to take care of kids today, but we do it, right? But we don't think about taking every thought captive. It's so, so important. If we don't take every thought captive, we will not grow spiritually to our fullest potential. There's no way. You will not have joy consistently. Because, you know, if we would look at our thoughts that come through our minds starting in the morning, probably a big part of them are on the negative side. Most of the time, we're not jumping out of bed and going, oh, wow, I feel great. You know, we don't usually do that. I don't anyway. It takes me a while to wake up in the morning. I don't want to have an important conversation when I get up because I don't really know exactly what that conversation would be like. But anyway, it's like we don't usually wake up like that, you know? And so taking our thoughts captive, you will not have joy consistently. You will struggle with racing thoughts. Now, this is one of the main things that I struggled with. And you know how when you walk into a little pet store, there's like a little hamster wheel? That was like my mind continuously, you know? And it's like, so I woke up tired. I went to sleep tired. It's exhausting to be, have all of those thoughts racing in your mind continuously. It makes you exhausted. And if you're exhausted mentally, you're exhausted physically. I've always told my husband, I would rather feel better mentally because, wow, the things that you could do when you feel better mentally, you know, I mean, I'm sorry. The things that you could do when you feel better mentally, even if you feel better, worse physically, you can get up and do things. You could talk yourself into it. You can say, you know, my body doesn't feel like it today, but man, I can do this. I can conquer this. You know, the battle is won and lost in your mind. You'll be confused with truth and lies because what happens when we think about something long enough? Even if it's not true, we start believing it. Yeah, we do, don't we? We do. You'll not be able to live a life of total forgiveness. Your thought process will be very sluggish because you can't think straight. When you have thoughts racing through your mind, you absolutely cannot think straight. Because the thing of it is when we are have negative thoughts and we allow them to go over and over, our brain is releasing toxic chemicals. And it's like God didn't create us to live like that. When we are living like that, we are living on the side of fear. We have stepped out of our identity where God created us to walk. So when we have fear running through us continuously with those negative thoughts, we can't think. We can't make decisions. We can make decisions, but a lot of times they're not the right decisions. You'll feel as though you are stuck in neutral and able to truly help others to grow. Do you know that when you do help others to grow, that it speeds your own healing up by 68%? Isn't that awesome? How God just created all of that. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. You will have a big tendency to assume. And if we would think about a lot of our thoughts, they are assumptions. You know? And as we think about them, even if we say we're assuming something and we allow that thought to churn and churn, then we can start fitting our narrative to that thought. And all of a sudden, what happens? Oh, that's true. That really is true. What if you come in one night for service and pastor is thinking about what God's going to do for the service that night, and he's got stuff on his mind, and you pass him, he doesn't see you, and you immediately think, oh, wow, he is mad at me. You know? I must have done something. What did I do? And blah, 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 blah. Before the night is over, our narrative will be, Pastor doesn't like me. Oh, maybe that's why he didn't put me in this position and that position. And we can have our narrative, and it fits. You know, we can fit it and really think that's really true. And all we're doing is taking all of these assumptions. Or pastor can pass by, or somebody could pass by pastor that has a total different mindset. And they can pass him. And yes, they realize he doesn't see them. And they go, oh man, I'm going to pray for pastor because he has got his mind on the service tonight. And I know God's got great things in store. And man, I'm going to get behind him. And the narrative fits again, right? So it's so easy to take those thoughts that we're assuming. And why do we think that even if we don't know the whole story, that our assumption is true? Do we want people to assume stuff about us that they don't even know the whole story? Because, you know, you can look at someone. Maybe you came to church and you barely made it because you're so sick and didn't feel well, but thought, you know what? I'm going to come anyway, and I'm going to praise God. And somebody across the aisle thinks, they are really upset tonight. They're not talking. They look a little moody. They look this. They don't even know the story, do they? They don't know. They don't even know it. That's what we do a lot, is we assume without knowing the whole story. You will never truly feel the freedom in your mind, and you will feel out of control. Do I ever know this? A three-legged stool, body, soul, spirit. And when we think that, okay, our spirit's good, our physical body's in order, but yeah, emotionally I am a little way out of balance. But you know how it is trying to sit on a three-legged stool and try to balance it? But that's what we do. You know, we put our little mask on and think that nobody really knows what's going on. Because, as I said, the battle is won and lost in the mind. Our minds are powerful things. They're so powerful. And I think Satan, as long as he can convince us that we can't take every thought captive, then he's got the battle won, right? Mm-hmm. God created us. He did not put scripture in the Bible that we could not do. He created us to do everything that he put in the Bible. Because the thing of it is a lot of verses, they're conditional. For instance, you have to repent before you receive the infilling of his spirit, right? And, you know, we want peace and we want freedom and we want all of that in our minds. And we just want to say, okay, God, bring me peace right now, God, and not do anything about it. We just want that immediate magic pill, right? Because we live in the year, the days of just the microwave thing. So we want just a simple thing. But God has given us instruction and tools to do that. Thank you, Jesus. So as we go along here, I'm going to give you an illustration here of taking every thought captive. All right. This is our thoughts. And this is what they do, actually. They go everywhere, right? If you do not take them captive the very first thing in the morning when you get up, by the time the day is half over, or maybe when you've only been up an hour, it's overwhelming, right? You feel like, I can't, where do I even begin to do all of this? And then anxiety comes in and fear comes in and we just give into it. So here we go. We pick up this thought. It says, unloved. And I know we feel very, very unloved a lot of different times in our life. And we really feel like we are unloved. You are loved. You are loved. We are loved every day, every hour, every moment. And so many times we feel unloved because of circumstances in our life. And we don't realize and think about the love that God has for us. He loves us unconditionally. It doesn't matter what we've done, where we've been, what we've said, our mistakes, it doesn't matter. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. I have been bought with a price. I belong to God. God loves us unconditionally. Take this thought captive. Thank you, Jesus. And then we have hopeless. There's many times we have felt hopeless. The minute we feel hopeless, that there's no answer to our dilemma, we don't even know where to begin at, do we? We don't know what to say. We don't know what to do. And I can remember having this many times in my life, and I know we probably all can relate with hopeless. But I can remember going through a first marriage. I had four little boys, ages 3 to 7, and I would watch every night as he was making his way to another woman. And I would think, what am I going to do? What in the world am I going to do? I don't have a degree. I can't make my own living with four little boys. I felt absolutely hopeless. But God, there is always hope. I want to say there is always, always hope. Don't ever let yourself think that there is hopeless. As long as you're breathing and we have a God, there's always hope. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Philippians 4 and 13, I could do all things through Christ who gives me strength. You know how many times I've read that scripture? Oh, yeah. This scripture will take you a long ways. As I said, God does not put scripture in the Bible that we cannot do with his help, right? We can do all things through Christ. Take this thought captive. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Rejected. And I know we've all been there and done that. That's one of the most horrible feelings, is to be rejected and not wonder and realize, what in the world are we going to do? Where are we going to go? What are we going to say? Rejection comes in a lot of forms. God understands this. God was rejected. Wow. Could you imagine? Time and time again, he was rejected. Rejection is a horrible thing. But wow, God in his awesomeness and his greatness. Thank you, Jesus. He will never reject us. 1 Corinthians 6 and 17, I am united with the Lord, and I am one spirit with him. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Take this thought captive. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Isn't it awesome just to feel the presence of God? His presence. Thank you, Jesus. Anxiety. Oh, wow. And I'm sorry, I think I'm getting a little quieter here in the mic. When I start feeling the presence of God, I have a tendency to get quieter. Ah, thank you, Jesus. Anxiety. This is a horrible thing. And I know we have such a tendency to slip into this. As I said earlier, God created us to walk in love and we're in alignment with Him, and we're taking every thought captive, then we're walking in love. We have a clear mind, and we can think straight. And during those days, it's easy when something comes up. Maybe something comes up that's maybe even tragic, but we feel so close to God, don't we? We feel very close to God when we're in that alignment. But when we walk over into fear, and this little word comes into play, oh, wow, it's horrible. We can't live there. We can't think. And if we don't take this thought captive, before you know it, something small is huge. Because what happens is when we're thinking about something over and over again that was done to us, our brains do not know that it's not happening over and over to us. And it's releasing those chemicals over and over and over as if it's actually happening. So that's why by the end of the day, you're blown. Your mind's blown. You're physically exhausted. You can't go to sleep. But wow, when we step over into the love, yes. Anxiety. I can remember, now me and my husband had COVID really bad. But thank the Lord, that's done and over. But we were both in the hospital a couple different times. We with a blood clot in my lung and COVID pneumonia, and my husband with low oxygen and bacterial pneumonia. So I can remember we were both in the same hospital the first time. I came home before he did, and I went to go to bed that night, and I was by myself, and I heard Satan say, "You're gonna die." Woo, this little word. I had to take that thought captive really quickly because, you know, I mean, already with a blood clot in my lung, I'm thinking, how does all that work, you know? Do I know when I throw a clot? You know, all those little things that go through our minds. But the anxiety that we have the power. This is the thing, is God is so much more powerful than anything else in the world. God's word is powerful, but we have let ourselves short of that and not really realized that we have so much power through God. We do. And we can't control what we think. So many times have you heard, "I just can't stop thinking about it. I just can't help it." And it feels like that. I will be the first one to agree. There's been times that I have had to just cry out to God as I was going through my healing. And this is a lifestyle. So you continue to do this. But there's times when we go through things, especially, and we cry out to God. "God, I know that you will help me in this area. You are powerful and you are mighty." And he always does. He always does. Anxiety is a rotten thing. Yeah.
You know, she was talking about you can do this. You can control your thoughts. We love what Timothy says. He's not given us a spirit of fear, but of love. We like that one. And power, we like that one. And a sound of mind. When you do a deep dive about sound of mind, in the Greek it means self-control. You can do it. So from tonight on, don't say, well, I can't help myself. I can't quit thinking about this. If you've got the power of God inside of you, he's given you self-control. And my job is to begin to utilize that self-control.
Yes. So let's just all say right now, I can control my thoughts. I can control my thoughts. Because the moment you say you can't, exactly, the power of the spoken word. That's another, and for another time. Anxiety. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ. But see here, he says, let your requests be made known. Thank you, Jesus. Take this thought captive. Sure.
I want to add to that too also, as you mentioned earlier, these scriptures are conditional. I pastored for 20 years and been in the ministry almost 40 years. Many a time, almost every service, someone would come up to the front, pastor, I need you to pray for peace in my mind. Well, the Bible's already given us a recipe on how to have peace. Read that passage again.
Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace which passes all understanding.
And the peace is going to come. I pastored a gentleman that owned a plumbing company there in Kansas City. And the gentleman came down front wanting me to pray that God would bless his business financially. Well, the church controller, the CEO of the church or the chief financial officer would send me the reports every week or every month. And so I would keep up with the reports. And this gentleman didn't pay any tithe or offering to the church. And so I said, no, sir, I'm not going to pray for you. I said, I can't pray opposite of the word of God. The word of God already says how to be blessed, and that's to be a giver. If I pray God blesses you without being a giver, I'm trying to circumvent the word of God. Same way with peace. He has told us how to have peace. When I come and want pastor to pray for me to have peace, am I first doing what she just read? Am I giving that request to the Lord? Am I praying about the request? Because the word says, when I turn it over to him, and the peace of God will come. So let's not circumvent the recipe in his word on how to get peace. It's taking these thoughts captive.
Yes, thank you, Jesus. Failure. We've all been there, done that, and we probably all have a t-shirt. Failure is not final. Amen. And a lot of times with failure, we can feel as though, oh, wow, but the things that can come out of failure. Now, I am going to talk a little bit here. I'm just being transparent because that's the only way that we can be. So failure, I can remember the evening that I realized what I was suffering with this disorder. But I had already made a lot of decisions and made a lot of unhealthy things along the way. You know, we pastored a church for 20 years. So, husband was men's ministry director in Missouri, presbyter, pastor. I was pastor's wife, the ladies' leader of our section there. I walked away from everything. So, in one night's time, we had no income, no house, no nothing, nothing at all. So when I realized that what I had done, the disorder, the whole thing, I was devastated, to say the least. And I could probably say if I had a loaded gun, I probably would have blew my brains out. What do you do? What do you do when your whole life was that? This is why I'm so passionate about emotional healing. I'm so passionate about it. Because there I was. I cried the entire night. I was very suicidal. What do you do? How do you face people again? What do you even do? Where do you start? But God, through an almighty God, an awesome husband, awesome pastor, Brother Gleason, awesome counselor, all of those things, you get up and you take one step at a time. I could either go and start on the path of healing, or actually the other alternative sounded kind of good too. I could just run to the other side of the earth and find a trap door somewhere where I could just hide and I would never have to face anybody. But God, what God does with our failures, He reroutes us. And so no matter what you have been through, what you have done, and maybe even what you're in the middle of now or what happens in the future, God takes your pain, your good things and your bad things, everything. He doesn't just throw out the things that you did that, oh my Lord, I hope nobody ever knows them. But those are the gems. That's that refining within you that God takes, and He not only reroutes you, He puts you on a path. Because, you know, God knows we're imperfect people, that we make mistakes, that we make decisions sometimes, that we get totally off the path that He orchestrated us to be on. He knows that. He's a great God like that. So failure is not final. So He picks you up and takes everything and uses it for His glory. Amen. His glory. Amen. That is the awesomeness of God. So don't ever be ashamed or I don't know what's a process, but the things that you have gone through, God will take them and use them for His glory, for someone else's answer, for someone else's healing. Thank you, Jesus. Isn't God a great God? He's an awesome God. Thank you, Jesus. And so He takes it, because when we're going through something, say if you're going through a divorce, who do you want to talk to? Someone that's gone through it, right? If you've lost a child, you want to talk to somebody else that's lost a child, because they understand it. And wow, do I ever love hearing stories of people that have had emotional issues that God has brought them up. I love them even more. And I know people say, oh, I don't want to say anything because people will judge me. People won't love me. Oh, wow. That is just one of those things that Satan likes to make us think, because everybody has victories in their life, right? Everybody has had failures to some degree that they can pick up and help someone and give God all of the glory. Those books are not about me. It's about giving God the glory that He can pick you up no matter where you are. No matter what road you're walking, He can pick you up and reroute you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Oh, I just got myself out of breath. Failure, Hebrews 4:16. I can find grace and mercy in the time of need. Whoo, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Take this thought captive. All right, shame. We've all had shame, our share of shame. But wow, how God takes us and molds us and really helps us to realize who we are, our identity, that He created us. We don't have to be ashamed. God created us. We are His. Romans 8:31, I am free from any condemning charges against me. Thank you, Jesus. You know what? It doesn't matter what anybody thinks. You and God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Take this thought captive. Thank you, Lord. Depression. This is a real, real thing. Anybody that says, oh, just get over it, they've not been where you've been, right? It's a really big deal. I mean, we can even read about people in the Bible that were depressed. Because we forget sometimes that actually they were people just like we were. You know? Exactly. Sometimes we look at it and think, oh, well, they're way up here and we're down here. They were people just like we were. And so they had to do stuff and battle stuff just like we did. Depression. I can remember my dear mama being on the couch and in her bed for days and days in the hospital. I can remember myself laying for days and days. You feel like you absolutely cannot do a thing. It's a real thing. Depression, Psalms 3:3, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me and the lifter of my head. Take this thought captive. Thank you, Jesus. Our minds are such a powerful thing. We are what we think. And we can do so much more than we realize that we can. We can't do this. And this will revolutionize your life. It will. And you know, there's a lot of different things. The Word of God is powerful. And then, you know, for me, I talk out loud a lot of times. And my husband will answer me, not realize I'm just talking out loud. But you know, a lot of times when you're thinking something and it's rolling in your mind, if you say it and process it, and you realize how ridiculous a lot of times that it sounds, you know? Because when it's in your mind, isn't it crazy how you can allow your mind to think such ridiculous things that are not true, that something that you shouldn't be thinking about at all, that's not productive, that's not going to help you to feel freedom in your mind, that's not going to do anything. Or how many times do we think about stuff that we can't do anything about anyway? You know, we can't do anything, but somehow we think if we think on it long enough, that we'll come up with an answer. You know, I think sometimes we feel like that maybe we have more answers than God does, maybe, you know, maybe we're kind of our own God. Philippians 4:6-9, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. He tells us exactly what to think on. those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace will be with you. So as I was saying a while ago, we just want to let our minds roam and run, and anxiety and fear and depression and all those things takes over our minds. But here, and then we pray, oh God, give me peace. Oh, please, Jesus. But he's told us what to think on. He has told us how to take thoughts captive, how to renew our minds. Now, I want to read this out of the Message. I love the Message. And I know we can't really use this as doctrinal purposes, but I'm the type of person that I like pictures in my Bible. That would be fun. But don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers. Letting God know your concerns, before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. Put into practice what you learned from me, what you heard and saw and realized. Do that, and God, who makes everything work together, will work you into his most excellent harmonies. Isn't that awesome? Thank you, Jesus. So it's so vitally important for us to think on these things, because this is where the battle is won and lost. And this is one of the main components. I can really truly say, and this is just a Jody Smith saying from walking where I walked, if I hadn't have taken every thought captive and continue to do it, it just wouldn't work. Wouldn't work. And yes, sometimes this is a lot of work, and I probably made it look easy, but I'm wanting to say, we don't do everything overnight, but do we do other things overnight? Do we just jump on a tricycle when we're little and just go ride the very first time? We have to do it over and over again, right? We have to be repetitious. We have to cook that same thing over and over again to get it perfect. Lots of things we have to do over and over again. Music. We don't think about that, do we? We just keep doing it over and over again. But when it comes to taking every thought captive, there's many times I have had to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But it works. It works. It works. Thank you, Jesus. So failure's not final. You can take every thought captive. Let's say, I can take every thought captive. Thank you, Jesus.
Give her a hand. Now look at your neighbor and say, you can do this. You can do this. He's given us that power. You can do this. We're going to take a break. My wife will be at the book table in the back. We'll come back at 8 o'clock. And then in this last session, just get ready. God's going to do some phenomenal things at the end. We'll start again at 8 o'clock. You're just...